It was almost a year ago exactly, and Adam and I sat down at a sushi bar. Now, we aren't strangers to sushi, but this one was a little different. You see, we've been working on a farm in rural Japan for 2 months, and on the farm, we only ate the food that we grew and the animals that we raised. We lost a lot of weight. But it was a beautiful concept, but it was really hard work. For instance, one day I was in charge of milking the goats, and Momo, one of the goats, kept kicking and kicking, and she ended up stepping in the pail of milk, which meant all the goat milk had to be thrown out for the day, and the entire farm had no milk. It was embarrassing, to say the least, and a little discouraging. And so we decided we would treat ourselves to a meal out. Sushi. And we were in Japan, so this was the real deal. So we sit down at this sushi bar. And after 2 months in Japan, we're used to being the only Westerners around. But in traditional Japanese fashion, there weren't menus, and it wouldn't have mattered because we can't read Japanese anyways. But the chef picked everything. So things start off smoothly enough. We didn't quite understand what the chef had said, but we can tell that we've been handed a plate with rice and a piece of raw fish over it. Open mouth. Mmm, delicious. Next up, fresh wasabi. It's like a deep green and leafy, like a legit vegetable instead of some like paste. Open wide, huge tingle in the nose, but delicious. Next up, pounded octopus. A little different. Open wide. Oh my goodness. Okay, this really is maybe one of the best things I've had. Delicious. A few pickled vegetables, some pieces of raw fish, all delicious, and I feel like I have the hang of this. And then this white cube ends up in front of us. We have never seen a fish this color before, and Adam and I are making eyes with each other like, okay, so we're going to do this, right? And the chopsticks we've been using are really hard to pick up this cube with. And we place it in our mouths, and our whole mouth is covered in this like creamy coating. It was strange. It didn't have a fishy flavor, but we had no idea what they had done to that fish. It wasn't until a few months later, like a few days before we left Japan, that we had some tofu skins. And we realized that that white cube we had been served was a very special, very small piece of tofu. And we were so out of our element in a new culture that we couldn't even catch that we were eating something made of soybeans instead of fish. And I wish I could say it stopped there, but it didn't. After the creamy fish, the chef said some words and we didn't understand, and we looked around and everyone had their hand extended in front of them. So we cupped our hand and extended it as well. What ended up on our hand was a small pile of rice topped with what I would call orange boogies. The chef said, and we clearly understood this time, he said sea urchin. But that didn't help me at all because I did not know what sea urchin was a bit. We looked around, and everyone was gulping down their urchin right off their hands, and so we followed suit. And yeah, it was huge, which was a problem, to say the least, and the texture was enough to do me in. Ugh. After the creamy fish and the sea urchin, I had lost my sense of adventure that I had come with to dinner. And, yeah, it was not coming back. And then everyone's hands were extended again. and the second sea urchin was harder than the first. But luckily, it was followed up with some miso soup, which we were very familiar with from Japanese restaurants here, and then two grapes that were like the most delicious grapes I've ever had. But that was dessert. Gotta love the healthiness of that meal. And then our adventure of a meal was over. Looking back, this meal, it makes me laugh. From the excitement I had to experience a new culture and new ways, to the best fish I've had in my whole life, to some of the most unique food I've encountered, the meal was certainly an experience, and one that I'll always remember. Because meals are memory makers. Whether they're an adventurous meal that allows us a glimpse into a new culture, whether they're a meal that we share to mark a special occasion, New Year's or birthdays or parents' 40th wedding anniversaries. Maybe it's the meal we got engaged over. Maybe some of us had a fancy meal out at a restaurant, or others had a candlelit meal at their partner's home. For us, I remember we were on a picnic blanket eating my favorite foods, chips and guacamole, and mozzarella, basil, and tomatoes. It doesn't get any better than that. But that meal will always stick in my memory, because meals mark special times in our lives. When we ask someone how they celebrate Christmas or Easter or Thanksgiving, they'll tell us their family's traditions, but they're not going to skip out on what they eat. Because it's a huge part of what brings us together and how we celebrate. Sitting around a table, sharing a meal, it's an intimate experience. Family gatherings, holidays, dates. There's something magical about sitting around a table, something unifying. And we see that in today's scripture. Jesus gathers with the tax collectors and with the sinners, and it seems to matter to people that Jesus is eating with them. It seems radical to them. And the Pharisees are livid. Why does he eat with these people? They keep asking. It might be one thing if he prayed on the street corner with them, or if he sat near them at worship. But no, Jesus goes into their homes. He sits around the same table. He breaks bread with them, shares the same wine with them, eats from the same familial bowl. It reminds me of the first time that I left our country. I was young, in my early teens, and my best friend's father, he worked overseas in Germany for a while. And so we were there for one of his work meetings, and we walked into a restaurant that had huge tables, like Harry Potter-length tables, but every table was taken. And I was so surprised when the host just grabbed menus and immediately started walking us through the restaurant. I kept looking around thinking, where are we going to sit? Every table was taken, and then the host stopped, and there was a table with four chairs, four open chairs, but like all the other chairs were full. This was just apparently how they did it in this culture. And so we sat down, and it hardly bothered the people we were sitting next to. Our conversation wasn't extensive because there was a language barrier, but we shared some about our lives, and they suggested food for us to try, told us what condiments to use so we didn't look like fools. And in some strange way, we kind of left as one big family. Because in essence, when we share a meal with someone, we're saying that we acknowledge that in some way they are our chosen family. That around a table we break bread and share food and simply revel in our shared humanity. The need to eat, the joy of eating. And to me, that's what World Communion Sunday is all about. It's a time when we as Christians from across all denominations pull up a chair to God's table. We remind ourselves that we are all family, sisters and brothers in Christ. Whether we eat foods that some people find particularly strange, whether we speak different languages, whether we live under different political systems, today, all Christians in all denominations are encouraged to take communion as a sign of unity, as a reminder that the nourishment and diversity and hospitality and welcome and the grace that we encounter at God's table and in community with one another. Every time we take communion, we're reminded that this isn't Algiers' table or the larger Methodist church's table, but it's God's table, and all are welcome. We're reminded that through Holy Communion, we're connected with the entire body of Christ, and that our table is large. So on World Communion Sunday, we're reminded that what we eat matters. Not only who grew the food and who makes the food, but also what cultures the food celebrates, and how we respect those cultures beyond just the cuisine themselves. We're reminded that who we eat with matters deeply. When is the last time that we sat down with someone who voted for a different presidential candidate than we did in the last election? When is the last time we shared a meal with someone who speaks a different language than we do? When is the last time that we invited someone of a different race into our home and at our table? There's something magical that happens around a table, something unifying, something intimate. And in the rush of life, we often forget the mysterious power of sitting down at a table and sharing a meal with one another. We often forget the holy mystery that we're invited to through Christ's body and Christ's blood. Today we celebrate World Communion Sunday, and we remember that the church around the world is connected by this common sacrament. No matter about all of our other differences, today we come to this table because it is Christ who invited us to come and to be fed. So today we do a healing thing. We come to this table to celebrate our oneness in Christ. Amen.